the midst of us, Lord God. You say where two or more are gathered together in your name, you are in our midst. And so we give you praise. And holy God, as we've come together here today as a church, come to worship you, Lord God, and during these summer months, we give you thanks for all of your blessings, for the opportunity to worship you freely, Lord, without fear, in the United States of America. We thank you. So we thank you for the United States of America. With all of our isms and schisms, Lord God, you have been good to us. And we thank you, Holy God. And so now speak, God, for we're listening. Speak a word for us so that we could hear again a word from you. A word of love, a word of hope, a word of joy, a word of peace. Speak, Lord God, for your children are listening. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. Put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so we give God thanks and praise today for what God has done. And my sermon titled today is The Upside Down Message of the Gospel. The Upside Down Message of the Gospel. You know, to turn something upside down is to put it in disorder, to mix or mess it up a little bit. You know, as in saying, you know, he came to my house and he was looking for something, him or her, and they put they were looking for the checkbook and put the whole house upside down. Turn it upside down. Right? This is a metaphor or a metaphoric phrase that transferred literally into inverting something so that, or throwing it into disorder or confusion. Right? It is a metaphor that in essence turns something into confusion, so to speak. And now what am I saying with this text? You've heard the gospel text read. Remember that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Right? Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus has said in the scriptures, and especially I think this is in John, it says, John 14, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid." So Jesus clearly told us there in John and several other scriptures that he leaves his peace with us. He is the peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemaker, Jesus said, because they will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So he's the guy of peace, isn't it? He's the savior of peace. Yet in this Luke text that was read in your hearing, Luke 12, 49 to 56, Jesus causes division. Jesus says his words. He says, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is accomplished. It is completed." And then he says, "Do you think that I've come to bring peace to the earth?" Doesn't that turn things upside down? "Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law." Well, that Jesus doesn't need to do. And daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. You know, that happens normally, doesn't it? But Jesus says this, and here's the deal, friends. Jesus is like a magnet. One person says, it's like a magnet. Jesus will either attract or repel. Jesus either attracts people or repels people. Do you know that no other savior, no other religious leader, he's our savior, he's more than a religious leader for us, isn't he? But no other savior that or a person that's leading a religion that one has ever said, people have got so contentious about. You don't hear people getting contentious about Buddha, right? Or, you know, repelling or discussing or things like that. And the writer says Jesus is the great polarizer. It's as if all of humanity were iron particles laid out on a sheet of paper. And Jesus is the magnet. Every single particle lines up either with the North Pole or the South Pole. Every person is either attracted to or repelled by the person of Jesus Christ, because he's a magnet. The power and influence of his very being cannot be ignored. Jesus is a magnet. You're either following Jesus or you're not following Jesus. Which is where we are in this text. And I want to share a story with you about when Jesus says he's going to bring division. You see, we who follow Jesus will have his peace. But let me share with you what Jesus means about bringing division. And I'll tell you the story that I heard a long time ago. It's a true story. There was this woman who was a Christian. And she wanted to go to church. And she was married. But her husband really did not want to go to church at all. And did not want her to go to church. Not only wasn't he going to church, he did not want her to go. But she was determined to go to church. And so, one summer day like this, she shows up in church and she's wearing a mink coat. I might have shared this some time ago, I don't remember. She's wearing a mink coat and she walks into the church and everyone is looking at her in this mink coat. She comes in and she sits down. And you know, folks are whispering, right? They're trying to figure out, has she lost her mind? Can you imagine it being humid like this and 90 degree and you're coming in a mink coat? And she sits there and the pastor continues to preach and she went through the whole service. And as the pastor is preaching, the tears are coming. And she's sitting there and she sat through the whole service, trembling in that coat. Nobody said anything to her, but at the end of the service, she had been a member. She wanted to speak with the pastor. And so he went to speak with her. He took her into the office and she broke down and she told him. She said, I wanted to come to church because that's where I get peace. And my husband got up that morning, let's say his name was Joe, and he said, you're not going to church. I don't want you to go to that place. And he took all of her clothes, everything that she had, and he had destroyed it, poured water on it, cut it up, burnt it. Yet she was determined that day. The only thing he had forgotten was the mink coat, because it had been in another closet and it was in summertime. And she had been so beat up, like, you know, emotionally beat up and needing to get peace and hearing from the Lord. So here was this division in this house just because she wanted to follow Jesus. So that morning she got up to defy the enemy who was trying to destroy her. And she made up in her mind that no matter what, I'm going to church. So she already had other underclothes on. And when he left, because he thought he had her whipped, she got up, put the mink coat on in that heat, buttoned it up, and went to church.
Amen.
You see, that's the division. There are times when we have to stand up for Jesus Christ.
Praise the Lord.
The gospel of Jesus Christ demands for us to stand up. We are now living in a pluralistic country. It's getting increasingly pluralistic. Thanks be to God. People are here from everywhere. But it's going to be that we must, as Christian believers, be prepared to stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
Is all of us going to come in a mink coat? Need to be? No, we're not in those circumstances or situation. But it demands us to be bold enough for Jesus Christ. Our religion is not one that should be undercover. We are not followers of an undercover Savior. Jesus said to us, go therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's what he told us. He says, go, he'll say at the beginning of Acts when he was being ascended. Go as he was going up. Go to Samaria, go to Judea, Jerusalem and Samaria. Go tell the gospel. That is the gospel we're in. That's the one we're following. We are not following a secret organization. Friends, we are not in the witness protection program. We are believers in Jesus Christ. If we choose not to be believers in Jesus Christ, and let folks don't start telling me, well, I'm not going to give out tracts, and so I am not asking people to give out tracts. We all know what our gifts and graces are. We all know what we should do or not do. We know that. So I'm not asking folks to give tracts out or not give tracts out. There are many ways to say we are Christians without giving out tracts. Folks always go to the extreme. The moment you say to them, well, you should speak about Jesus, they go to the extreme. They say, well, I can't do this and I can't walk on the street. They go to the extreme because they don't want to. But sometimes in our very own home, in our very own environment, we can say the name of Jesus and let folks know that we believe. And that, friends, can bring division. Dear division, bring division. Let me say something to you. I worked in a firm wherein there were Jewish believers and there were Orthodox. I'm ultra-Orthodox. That means on Fridays, when the weather changes to sun up or sun, you know, they have to leave before sundown. And we had no problem in our company at all, neither we should, to have those programmers, there were mainly programmers, leave early or don't come in on Friday. And this was not the days when people work from home a lot. Right? We all came into the office, but we had no problem. You know, and we should not have. Because they were going home because it was sundown. They had to get home before sundown. For any of you understand that religion, right? They're very Orthodox. They must go home before sundown to begin the prayers. And I remember one gentleman I worked with for years, David Dukulski. He wore the tassels and everything, very Orthodox, and he would have to leave. But if you were in that, but we were Christians, if you had, in some cases, if you had a little Bible on your desk, folks would get their backups. Like, why would you have your Bible on your desk? You're trying to tell people about Jesus. Mm. I couldn't figure it out. The Jewish believers, these men who were, they were David and Alan, they were wonderful men, three or four of them. They wore their yarmulke, as they should. They wore their tassels, as they should. And they left, and when, if they had to work late, and there were more women than men in the team, they couldn't work late, because they cannot have more women than men in an office area. And we knew that. I have left work, so that when they were going to work in late, and I knew, I would say, I'm leaving because, you know, if the balance is too much. We accommodated that. We made it okay for them, and we should. But let you just have a Bible, or if you just say to somebody, you know, I believe in Jesus. You hear people said, oh, why are you calling Jesus again? I couldn't figure out why it was okay for some, but not for the other. And I had nothing to do with these individuals. It wasn't them at all. They were very wonderful, accommodating. And I would say to them, listen, you cannot stop me from talking about Jesus in my own office or to read my Bible in my office at my desk. You don't want to be a part of it, fine. But you can't stop me. This is, if I'm sitting at my desk at lunchtime or in the lunchroom and I'm reading my Bible, you can't stop me from reading my Bible. So there is that constant offense that we think we are on the defensive all the time when it concerns Jesus. Christian believers, why do we have to be on the defensive?
Amen.
Why we now need to be playing offense, right? Mm-hmm. We believe in Jesus Christ. We want the world to know. Let's become good football players. Right? Let's stop being on the defense. Right? Those of us who are bold enough, we are going to be running that line. All of us should be running, doing that long run to get the home run. Help me, football player. What is it called again?
Touchdown.
That's it. To get the touchdown. I was trying to remember the word. I couldn't remember. Who gets the home run? Somebody gets that baseball. Right? We are running this race. I knew that somebody got the... We're going to get the home run or the touchdown. Right? Amen. And that's what we want to do, right? And in basketball, they're what? They're putting in the hoop, whatever they get in that final, right? Isn't it? See, so we have to be bold about that, don't we? Is there any... And then in high soccer, they're putting in the putt. praise God. Let's not show our prejudice to sports now. So we are running this race, and it may bring division. And sometimes it's not big, major division like that, but it separates. Because people always want Christians to be quiet. And why? Because it's about Jesus. So Jesus tells us here, and I just want to emphasize, that's what Jesus is talking about in this text. He said there's going to be division. You know, mother and father may not talk to each other. Mm-hmm. Husband and wife.
Yes.
Families break up. Right? Just because of Jesus. Just because he says you're going to church. We are like fighting this thing. It is a wonderful thing to come from a family. It's a wonderful thing to come from a family that is all, everybody's a Christian and everybody believes and you could go to church together. But for folks who are not in that environment, it is not an easy thing to do. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is constantly right now in the world. There are folks who are being martyred for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a group called the Voices of the Martyrs. People being martyred, just because churches are being burnt right now. Methodist churches, other churches in Africa and other places of the world, Asia, the Middle East, just
right
because
India.
Of Jesus. Just because their families are put in prison because of it. This is what Jesus meant. Now we understand what that gospel meant. That short scripture. And so there's a song that was in our worship this week. It says, take up the cross. And the writer says, I walked one day along a country road, and there a stranger journeyed. Two, bent low beneath the burden of his load. It was a cross I knew. And then the refrain says, take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all for me? There's a cross for me, and there's a cross for you, all of us. Our religion, Christianity, will cause people not to like us. They don't want to hear from you. They think we're not smart enough. We're not bright enough. We're not educated, because how could we be that smart? And we're talking about this thing called faith in Jesus Christ. Well, if they have got a better answer and it's working for them, well, thanks be to God for them. But this Christianity and believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who I could call on any time, any day, any hour, any moment, works for me. Thanks be to God for that. Jesus expects us. He says, oh, let me bear thy cross, dear Lord, I cried. And lo, a cross for me appeared. The one forgotten I had cast aside, the one so long that I feared. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there is a cross for me and there's a cross for you, all of us.
Thank God.
There is the peril of compromise. The question is, do you compromise yourself slightly to gain more exposure for the gospel message? But in doing so, have you then watered down the truth and made it a half-truth, which makes it into a lie? That's a real concern. Jesus asked his followers to choose the narrow way. But he added, if you follow me, don't be surprised the world hates you. Jesus said that to his disciples. That's why he left that skin. If you follow me, not everyone is going to love you. Friends, we as a church of Jesus Christ must begin to stand up firm for Jesus. Lift high the cross. Be proud to be Christian believers. One writer talked about no compromise. There was a pastor in Siberia many years ago. And when he was a pastor in one old church, and when the Russian government came to him, long before this guy who is here now, this would have been under I forget now, but it was long before Putin, when Siberia was part of the Russian Empire. And then they came to him and said he should stop. He should continue to be a church. He could continue to be a pastor, but what he should do is give them the name of every person who comes to the church who said they're Christians. Right? Because they were going to track them down to put them in prison. And he refused to do that. He refused to give their name in. So they arrested him and put him in prison for 10 years under hard labor. But in prison, he was able to what? Speak the word of Jesus Christ to many prisoners.
Amen.
And they accepted Jesus Christ. And do you know how many churches are in Siberia now? From that one church. So many churches, the gospel of Jesus Christ has grown and grown when we stand for Christ. The Hebrew writer reminds us, says to us, the saints that have gone before, they were beaten, stoned, broken, put in prison. But they stood firm. The early fathers and mothers, they were thrown to lions. We know, if you've been to Rome, you've heard the Colosseum in Rome, polygraph, and all the early fathers walking nails and burnt. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Not even those saints, but average people were murdered and brutalized for the gospel of Jesus Christ, just so that we can have it. But here's the good news. Even though they did not see the promise, they are the saints now in heaven who are looking down at us. They have handed over the baton to us. We have received that baton and we should be running the race. In every way we can, running the race for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Running it proudly to the end. Sometimes we're limping to the finish line. Sometimes we're walking with a cane to the finish line. Marilyn, sometimes we got a little pain and we're weak and we're walking with a cane, but we are still walking to the finish line because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, friends.
Praise the Lord.
The older people here have been coming here forever. Right? Jean is walking now with her things because she has a problem working on her knee, but she's still walking for Jesus.
Amen.
Some days we don't feel good. Life is not easy for us. It's not a rose garden, but we stand up and we stand up firm for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has been faithful to us. And he has never, never failed us, and he never will. And so we believe. And so we walk by faith, trusting in the Lord, leaning on his holy word. He has never failed us yet, church, and he never will. That's my lesson to you. The day I'm telling you one thing, one legacy I want to leave you. The day that I have to leave this church, I don't mind, whatever you say or not say about me will be fine. But one thing I'll ask you to say, that I was sold out for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No turning back. I decided to follow Jesus, and I hope you have, and I'm never turning back. not for man, woman, boy or girl, because I have tried him and proven him to be true. He has always, always been there for me, through ups and downs, through trials and tribulation, through criticism, through deceit, through divorce, through sickness, through death. He has always been there for me.
Amen.
My Redeemer lives.
Amen.
I tell you, my mom and daddy has gone home to be with Jesus, but guess who is with me? Jesus. He's a good God.
Amen.
Some days I wake up and I love him so much, words cannot explain. Am I always pleased about what happens in my life? No. But God is a good God.
All the time.
And so we want to let the world know that we serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And he walks with us. And he talks with us. And he tells us that we are his own.
Amen.
I know he's walking with you. I'm giving my testimony. But if each and every one of you were to stand here and give your testimony, I know we would be moved hearing about your experience with Christ. And if you don't have an experience with Christ, today is a day of salvation. It's never too late. You never know what will happen tomorrow. And he'll be there for you. Amen and amen. Let's give God an amen.